Hello, whilst this week's Sports Zone on Salford City Radio, I'm Rob Paxton, and I'm here talking all things sport in Salford. Joining the show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Whiteside from The Devil in Detail. Ready to talk all things sport in Salford and beyond, Paul?
Yeah, certainly I'm, Rob. We've got an action-packed show, haven't we, of rugby league and football and everything else that's going on. I mean, James, our jet setter's getting about as he normally does. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. It should be good.
Yeah, we're going to start with an interview that James did on Saturday. Jan Malak produced an incredible comeback at Octagon 53 in Germany after arriving in the country on a pirate plane. James spoke to the MMA star after his huge victory, and here it is now.
Oh, Jan, congratulations on a massive performance. You were tremendous tonight, showing amazing heart. Talk to us. You arrived here in style on a jet. Can you tell us a little bit about how you arrived into the country?
Yeah. It's a jet. I don't know the word in English, propeller. It has a propeller. It has a huge propeller. It's a very expensive plane, but it's not a jet, to be correct, yeah. I'm not LeBron James, but still. I arrived on plane. I felt confident in the fight. My opponent was tough. He hit me hard. Like I said, after a fight, through the forehead a couple times, I felt his power. But on the other hand, I hurt him to the body later in the first round, and I knew that he's going to go physically off.
Absolutely. Well, you're not LeBron James, but you certainly performed like him today because you were absolutely fantastic. The first round was difficult. You came more into it in the second. You showed amazing heart, especially to overcome a kick that Shamrock caught you with. Yes. What does that mean to you to overcome that?
Yeah, you know what it meant the most for me? Before the fight, I was like, what's he going to do? He's going to watch the fight with Shem, obviously, because it was a perfect performance by Shem. And he's going to try to throw the same kick. And when he hit me, he actually hit me. I had an inflamed elbow like 2-3 weeks ago. And he hit me to the spot and I felt the power. And I was like, this is not happening again. This is not happening. So I kind of evaded his other kicks. And I was like, okay, fine. I got a distance. But I didn't feel comfortable to throw longer combinations.
And obviously he had come into this, I think on 3 days' notice. He was in a nightclub. Yeah. Incredible stuff. What do you make of that? And obviously, due to your win tonight, are you going to be in the nightclub celebrating?
Yes, I will. I got a baby boy on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. In like a month. So it's like still a month to go, but you got to be ready, to come back home as soon as you can. And to Luca, he's got a great heart because not many people take fights like this on a big events like this on short notice. And maybe he was in a nightclub, but he was a completely different style than my original opponent, Aksu was. Aksu is a smaller guy, brawler, and he's a tall guy, southpaw. So it was difficult for him, but also difficult for me.
And obviously you mentioned that you've got a new baby coming into the world. That is absolutely fantastic. Yes. How amazing is it for you to win tonight and knowing, of course, your child's coming soon?
Yeah, it's funny that you talk about it because when I lost to Shem in the summer, after 2 days after the loss, my wife told me that we are expecting a second baby. So rollercoaster of emotions.
That's amazing. And now we're looking ahead to the summer. After that performance, you deserve something big. Yep. There's a stadium show. Imagine that on the undercard of Attila Vey, Carsomola, 20,000 fans chanting your name. What would it be like to be on that stadium show?
It would be great. And I think it's going to happen because the Octagon promotion, they love stories. And Aksu, my original opponent, came after me with huge respect. I told him that I respect that he got injured. And I completely get it that he had to withdraw. And so he's going to ask Octagon for a rematch, but what's the word? For the other opportunity to fight me, and I want to fight on Eden, and I want to fight him, so it's going to happen.
That'll be fantastic. Congratulations again on the victory, on the baby. But before I let you go, is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, just thanks to German fans because I know that they weren't on my side, but they were not booing. They were fair sport.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So fantastic win. For Mr. Malak, Paul, and obviously impressing in the MMA world, coming in on a private jet. I mean, we don't get private jets, do we?
No, I bet James does, though. these are stepping up in the world. But no, I must admit, the UFC is becoming a phenomenal sport, isn't it? You know, I watch quite a bit in our gym on a Saturday morning. They have a lot of stuff on the telly there, a lot of the foreign sort of telly channels, and it's an absolutely brutal sport. You know, you think about boxing, and I think it's probably a step above that. You know, what some of these lads go through, and you look at the state of the faces after the fights, and that, and you wonder how they carry on and how they start training again. But no, absolutely brutal sport. And I know James does a terrific job, doesn't he, covering it? And I'm sure he's had a great time over in Germany.
Yeah, lots going on in the contact world. Paul, in the boxing, Liam Williams lost to Hamza Shahrazz. Talk us through that fight.
Yeah, well, he was a big outsider, really, Liam Williams. You know, he's been a world title challenger, only 31, you know, the Welshman, and he's been in some good scraps recently as well, and he's nicknamed the Machine, so he's one that's a very, very physical fighter, a very aggressive fighter, and this looked a tough fight for the challenger, but he was dispatched in a round, was Liam Williams, by a terrific opponent, and knocked out, technical knockout, put down twice, and you know it was a terrific performance. So it wasn't one that we were probably expecting. The bookies had him, like I said, at 4-1, which I thought was big odds for someone like Liam Williams. But I have to hand it to Shahrazz, he was outstanding. He's 6'3" though, and to be a middleweight at 6'3". That's tall at that weight as well. So how he gets in that physical condition and drops to that weight at such a height is tremendous, and it just shows the fitness of the man. So yeah, great fight that in London, and you know it was a good night, but not a good night for Liam Williams. So he's got to rebuild his career from there. But yeah, Hamza Shahrazz, he's a dangerous man.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where does it leave Liam Williams? Obviously defeat. You know, is it a bad defeat for him?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had his defeat against Chris Eubank Jr., didn't he, last year, and I think it was early on last year when he had that defeat. That was a unanimous points decision, so he's rebuilt since then, had a couple of knockout wins, and then this was another big challenge for him. So, you know, it's how much he's got left now. Like I said, he's only 31, so I'm pretty sure he's a fit man, and he's a real athlete, and he's loved down there in the Welsh Valleys as well. So I'm pretty sure he'll want to make amends for that. But he looked in terrific condition. You know, but from the first bell, he just didn't seem to get into any sort of rhythm. But the jab from Shahrazz was tremendous. Like I said, 6'3", got big long levers, and Williams just couldn't deal with it. He was so fast. Was Shahrazz, and like I said, he put Williams down twice, and then Gary Lockett, Liam Williams, cornerman, threw the towel in towards the end of the first round. And you know, some people have said it was a bit of a premature stoppage, but I think it was right. I think he was right to throw the towel there, because his leg went, you could see his leg go just as he chucked the towel, and that was after two knockdowns, as I say. So I think it was the right thing to do there, saving for another day.
Yeah, I think sometimes boxers need saving for themselves, don't they, sometimes, because they feel like they're still in the contest, but you know, when you get a big blow to the head, your marbles get laid on the floor, you lose everything, don't you, really?
Well, that's it. I mean, it's not often you see the towel coming in round one, is it? But because he'd gone down twice and gone down quite heavily as well, his trainer must have seen something there, because just before the knockdown, as I say, he sort of backed up and you could see his legs go, and he wasn't going to recover from that, I don't think. So if he hadn't thrown that towel in, probably got another standing count, and then Shahrazz would have jumped all over him in round two and could have hurt him really badly. So I think Gary Lockett, his trainer, did the right thing there. He knows Liam Williams inside out. He spends every day with him in the gym, been training him for years, so he knows what he can and can't take. He was a very, very tough man, but I think it was the right decision. That fight was only going to go one way.
So that's all the boxing and the MMA chat. We're going to move on to rugby league. And we went to the Salford Red Devils media day, Paul, a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Very enjoyable day. Lots of great chat with the Salford Red Devils players.
Yeah, it was. It was a terrific day. Really enjoyed it. Very professional. And, we got to speak to, plenty of players. And it was, a really good afternoon. I really enjoyed it. And, the players are very excited, aren't they, now for the season to start.
Yeah, we spoke to Brad Singleton, Joe Shorrocks, Ryan Briler and Callum Watkins, and this is what they had to say.
I'm delighted to say Brad Singleton joins me at the Salford Red Devils media day. Brad, looking forward to the season starting now. You've got a friendly game this weekend against St Helens. You must be ready now for it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one pre-season. Everyone loves to be back in that, but there's no better feeling than playing a game, and I've always enjoyed that side of things. So there's nowhere else better to go than over at Saints, one of the top contenders over the last couple of years, few years, and just to see how we get on, and Yeah, pretty confident.
How's it gone so far? You had some warm weather training. Was that? Did you enjoy that, going over there to Portugal? It's better than being in the cold of Salford, isn't it?
Yeah, every English side suffers from it, but sometimes you can't get on the grass and stuff like that. But we got over there and had 6 days of warm weather training, and yeah, it was nice just to get on the field twice a day and probably do a bit more, especially attack-wise. Just go for a few processes and nail them.
Is it good for your team bonding as well? Because you've got new players coming in as well. You know, spending a bit of time with them off the field and that must have done good for the team spirit, the team morale.
Yeah, I think it's an obvious one because obviously you're taking in the pressures from home. You know, the partners and the kids and stuff like that. You're taking that all away from them and you're stripping it right back. And it's a case of the lads can basically get to know each other and get to know how people work. And I always think it's a positive for the year.
First game will be at Leeds. Baptism of fire, that really, for the team going there. They've made some big signings. Lots expected for them. How do you guys approach that game then? You go in there as underdogs, but you don't have any fears at all, do you?
Nah, there's no fears. I think when we're going up against Leeds, obviously it's a big occasion. I've spent some time at Leeds. I know what it means to that lot. Well, they're under as much pressure as anybody. Obviously, they've signed big and stuff like that. But we don't look into it. I think we just take it each game as it comes. And you know what? Just sorting ourselves out, making sure the foundation of the season is good to build on. And look, I, like I said, I'm confident with where we're at.
What's pre-season like as a prop forward? Is it as hard as what supporters think of? Is it running up and down hills? Is there a lot of fitness and that? Is it harder than day-to-day training, you know, in the regular season?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, the S&C want to tick a few boxes and to make us as fit as they can and as resilient as they can scientifically. So, and then you've got the coaches that want to do the rugby side and get some conditioning to the conditioning games and stuff like that. So it is tough, but it's just part of the job. You know, you do that tough stuff to enjoy the games and be in the best position possible.
What sort of goals have you set as a club for the season? Or can you not really say that? Are you confident going into the season as players and as a squad of what you can achieve?
I heard Aggie speak the other day, actually, and he said, look, we're coaching this team to win a trophy. So I'm not going to put the pressure on us there and say, look, we're going for this, and this. But at the same time, there's no reason why not. I think this side's good enough. I think if we nail it each week and be better and better and hit the playoffs running, there's no reason why not. Look, we've spoke about what we need to do, especially on camp. We had a meeting there and we spoke about our objectives game to game and stuff like that. And it's not really league position; it's how we can improve weekly and on the overview of last year and stats and stuff and where things we need to clean up to which we'll improve. And you think we're only one game off of playoffs. I know I came in late, but we're only one win off of playoffs. So it's not a bad start, you know what I mean? I think and there's that much go wrong. I think we were the most penalised team last year, and that's on us. There's things that we can control here. So look, I'm really excited with what's to come.
When you talk about being penalised and that, is that something you focused on in pre-season to work on to make sure you're not? Is the little things that you can sort out with that?
I don't think it's a secret with that stat being out there. So we were the most penalised by a lot as well, by a lot. And so we can, that's on us. It's more like, look, there's going to be high tackles. There's going to be issues with all this with new rules and stuff. And when there's going to be six agains and stuff like that with a ruck, but there's things we can control. Mm. And look, I think across the whole league, the lower the tackles will be getting coached, and we'll be looking at that. And we have done roles, has been a good job there. But stuff like offsides and stuff, which we can control, I think we've spoke about that.
With tackling technique and things like that, you've obviously played rugby league for a long time since you were a kid, so it's a long time now. So you get into a method of how you tackle. You're an aggressive bloke as well. Have you had to look at how you perform now? Is it going to be a big change for you? As Paul Rowley said that in training, we've got to do things differently.
No, because I just think it's a case of look, there's probably an awareness there because you don't want to be sat in the stands and you don't want to do a sin bin, you don't want a red card. But at the same time, it's always been a penalty. High tackle's always been a penalty. We were always coached not to take heads. It's just a case you can't have a slip now though because it will be a red card. So look, not much has changed. We've always been taught to bend our back and tackle your shoulder, so since under sixes. So I don't feel too pressured in that situation.
Just looking at the predictions of that for the season, bookmakers, press and that, they tend to sort of write Salford off a little bit. Does that motivate you as players and you personally, that?
No.
You know,
for me, I don't pay any attention to it. Obviously, it'll be there and it'll be thereabouts and it'll catch your eye now and then. But for me personally, it makes no difference. I can see why they do that. We've lost a number 9 and number 6 from last year. But that's when we talk about the recruitment. I think we've recruited great. I think the recruitment of Joey Mellor, it's massive. It's another dimension at 9. He's a running 9. And Akers was good, but it's a different version. He's a bit faster than Akers, but Akers in his own right is an incredible player. But I'm saying that there's probably a different look in Salford if he's going to be around that 9 role. He's fast getting out there.
Do you think the recruitment's been smart? Because some of the players that have come in, particularly like Shorrocks from Wigan, these are clever players, aren't they? Players who know the score. I mean, he's played standoff last season for Wigan, so he's a very useful players, aren't they? Players that can play in different modes, pick up different positions. So you've got, like, probably not the biggest squad in the league, but got some good players in there.
Yeah, I think that's probably where the problem lies. It'll probably be down to depth, because I think, credit to Rolls, especially since I've been here, and I know it's not long, but every conversation about it is a smart bloke, and every player that's come in, you can see the worth and you can see the talent there.
Well, good luck for this season. Thanks very much for talking to Devil in the Detail and Salford Radio, Brad. All the best for 2024.
Thanks a lot.
Right, Ryan, you okay?
Yeah, good, mate.
Excited about the season to come?
Yeah, really excited. A lot of adversity again, so we never do it easy, do we? Really looking forward to it. I think that the adversity has turned into a lot of excitement now in regards to the players we've brought in, so I'm buzzing. The week in Portugal really helps, so looking forward to how the new guys settle in, and we probably will start the season a bit slower than most. Obviously a new combination, a new hooker and half in there, so hopefully we'll bed in as soon as we can, but certainly won't be firing all cylinders early doors, and it's probably a season we're probably going to have to go into.
What was Portugal like? Obviously warm weather, longer days?
Yeah, longer days, obviously nice weather, and it's, people obviously take for granted it's the conversations you have. So when it's -3 and it's hailstoning on the field, and you want to talk about a certain play or a certain philosophy or the way of playing or a certain situation what happened at training, you're not going to stand there for 20 minutes talking, whereas in 20 degrees sun you can stay out there all day, can't you? So they are longer days, but the amount of terminology and communication you have within them hours are critical. We cleared a lot of things up, what we didn't really know, and a lot of pre-season, the middles and the forwards and the backs are kind of kept separately to do all, so to bring it all together and realise what other people are thinking and how they want to do things and different ideas, because naturally as rugby players and how big our egos are, we believe that our ideas are the best ones, but ultimately some other players have good ideas, so it was really nice, mate, really good. Obviously full credit to the club for funding it.
Who did you room with?
I had a room on my own.
Oh?
Yeah, I was lucky because we had an odd number.
Is that because you snore?
No. As I tell you, who does snore? Brad Singleton.
Wow, yeah.
He's the worst. It looks like a hyena's being killed, honest to God. But no, luckily enough, I was on my own. But I say that, it was only to go to bed, and I was up playing games with each other for most of the week, also doing card games and different games, and Nene McDonald brought a different game to us, which was pretty good.
What was the game? Can you tell me?
A game called Mafia.
Go on.
Yeah, so it was like a traitors thing, so you're trying to find out who the traitor is and who the faithful is and so everyone's sussing each other out, so it's good, really good. Just icebreakers, good. So yeah, really beneficial week. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock coming back down to earth, coming back to
sunny Salford.
Yeah, last week. So, but no, it's all in good fun, and again, I think it will hold us in good stead towards the start.
What's the aims, personal aims and club's aims for this season, Jim?
I'll be honest, we've not discussed it. I think there's from a personal point of view, I need to be consistent. I think last year was the best year of my career, and it was all built on defensive efforts. So I'd like to keep that and build on that. I think growing into a bit of a leader at the club is nice. I like that responsibility. So I think that the success for me would be making my teammates better around me, because we've not got a lot of them. So a lot of my effort is based on bringing my iPad to training and showing the young lads what's right and what's wrong, and asking their opinion on stuff and making sure they're all right and they're comfortable, because I know how powerful that is when a senior player tells you and looks after you, and I want to be that guy, and not just for me and the team, but I want Salford Red Devils to be proud of someone who plays in their team as a fullback, who looks after the team and looks after the players. I think that's quite powerful, so that's probably a big aim in developing into that role, and also my performances just work hard, keep working hard every week, trying to get better. And as long as my defensive commitment is there, each and every week I'll be happy.
Yeah, it was the best season of your career because you won Podcast Player of the Year.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just get it to the bottom line. Obviously, we lost Brodie Croft, we lost Andy Ackers, but you've got, obviously, players coming in, new pivots. How's that been? Mixing all that together?
Different. Shoes are different. It's been nice, been refreshing. It's hard because I think ultimately you lose friends, don't you?
Please, yeah.
You lose friends, don't you? So that's been tough. And obviously Brodie was one of my best friends, weren't he? So to lose him was tough. And you build up a lot of combinations with him. So when Custer came, you're having to start from scratch and explain what you'd like doing, what you like, what he likes, because what he likes is very different to what Brodie likes. So, but he's brought a different dimension in my game, massively. And the way he competes, and ultimately he's won things. And I always say, like, we've lost a lot of talent in our team, but we've also replaced it with people who've won stuff. So without putting too much pressure on the team, we've brought in Kay Cust and Joe Mellor, Joe Shorrocks, Brad Singleton in recent times. They've all won trophies, and ultimately I've not. So if they can't do it anymore, at least they can tell me how to. So that's the thing I've held on to the most, is we've brought in proven winners, and that excites me this year more than most years.
Yeah, you talk about roll the ball and throwing the ball around and what do you call it, creative expansion or something like that. Obviously, like you say, fans do get nervous, but the more we do it, the more people get used to that that style of play.
Yeah, and if you look at Tottenham now with that Ange ball.
Yeah,
he does not care. Like, no matter how the game's going, he has got a philosophy and he believes in it, and you can tell the players believe in it. And the reason we believe in it is because we know the other way doesn't work. When we try and play within ourselves and go one out, we get beat. And the stats prove that. When we have the least passes in games, we get beat. So when we have the most passes in the game, we win. So the stat, and that, by the way, that doesn't work for every team.
No.
If you ask St Helens to pass more times than they normally do, they wouldn't win. It's not something they do. They don't believe in it. And likewise, if you're asking us to go through the middle, we don't believe in it, so we're not going to do it. So that's a really important thing, is getting people to play. And listen, I think when we first started doing it, fans were scared to death, weren't they?
Oh.
But they're a lot more accommodating now, which is nice. I think the first time I caught the ball and threw it to the winger, I only got shot. But it just shows how the fans have really adapted to me and been patient with me and now understand the role, because we're passing it to end up in a different type of the field to then do something else. So it's not a case of catch it and go on, Dion, go and do your best. It's Dion's going to run at a certain player to open up a different opportunity. So I like kind of talking like this, because it gives fans an education of what we're actually trying to do. There's a reason behind me passing the ball to a certain person, because there's something what's coming next. So they're the sequences, what I've all got in my soul. When I catch the ball, there's million thing going through my head about what we need to do next, where we're going next, which side we're going to attack from first, when's Sneedy back, when's Custy back. They're the sort of scenarios what go through my head. So there's just a lot of patience required from obviously the fans, and they've been great, especially for me. To have them singing my name is something what I'll never believe would ever happen. So I just find it so weird and bizarre, but so brilliant at the same time, and it'll never get old for me, and I'll never get bored of it.
Yeah, obviously you've experienced pre-seasons as a fan with Salford. Yeah. You're experiencing pre-season as a player with Salford. Is it as exciting being in the red shirt?
Oh, miles better as a player.
Why is that?
You know what's involved, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what's going on, and you're more in the know. So I like that. I like the fact you're more in the know. As a fan, because I wanted to know what's going on, but now as a player, it's brilliant. So I am living every Salford fan's dream, and I am a Salford fan, so I know how much it means to people. And my people, I said it before, the Salford people are my people, and that's how it'll stay.
Yeah, obviously all the new faces have come in. Who's impressed you the most?
Custy's been good, just so smooth and silky, and a competitor. Typical Wigan system player. Love his competitiveness.
Obviously we've only had one friendly so far. Do you think that's enough with all the training you've been doing, or would you want a couple more?
It's just an issue with the squad size, isn't it?
You're
damned if you do, damned if you don't, aren't you? So see what we find out.
Yeah, this is it. Obviously we're looking to get back in the six. Disappointment last season because we didn't get there. What did you learn from that disappointment coming forward into this season?
Again, not stressing the small stuff. I think we let outside noise dictate our performances when we need to be a lot more mature and forget about that, and because we can't control it anyway, so it makes no difference. But as a fan, as a Salford fan, I, course I worry. Like, I don't want this team to go anywhere. I don't want this club to go anywhere. So I love this club more than most, so I don't want it to disappear. So yeah, naturally worried. And probably why I played so well on the pitch is the fact that when I was on the field, I just concentrated on playing well for Salford, because you never know when it would be my last. So my desperation and anxiety probably forced me to play a lot better.
Yeah, but I suppose outside noise can work both ways, can't it? You can get excited and energised by what's going on, but also, you know, desperation or darkness start seeping in, and
it brings you closer together.
Yeah.
That's the first and foremost. It brings you a lot closer together, which is the most important thing, and that's what we lack in resource and facilities. We certainly make up with how close we are as a group. And again, I've said it as soon as I came in, never been in a group that's closer.
Mm. Who do you think are going to be our most competitors this season? Who do you think other teams that you think?
This league, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
This competition. So you'd like to think Leeds would be up there with the recruitment, as in top two, top three. Saints will be annoyed because they didn't win one.
Yeah. We're building, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, I couldn't tell you, but honestly, I don't know. And I'm not the cliche, just look after ourselves, but this league is so nuts, man. Every year just throws a massive surprise. I never thought Leeds had done as well as they did. I'd hope we would be around the six with five games to go, and if we're around it, we'll make a good crack at it.
What do you think of the new TV deals, Sky, Super League Plus and BBC?
Yeah, brilliant. I know a lot of football do the similar situation, love it. I think it's what we needed to make this game bigger. It's exactly what we needed.
And obviously a pundit like yourself, obviously more opportunity.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm skint, so yeah, hopefully more opportunities. There'll be more Sky games and punditry gigs, but yeah, I love that. I love talking about rugby league, don't I? So hopefully get me nose through the door a bit more.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us, thanks for talking to us, and good luck in 2024.
Right, new Salford signing, Joe Shorrocks joins us. Joe, how's your pre-season been? We just spoke to Brad Singleton and Chris Atkin, they're really confident. How are you feeling at your new club?
Yeah, pre-season been good, loving it. Completely different what I've been used to over the last 9 years, but no, loving it. Yeah, been away to Portugal, the boys have been working hard, so yeah, I just want to get to games now and start playing.
How did the Portugal trip go for yourself? Did you enjoy it being over there in the sunshine and whatever? It's different, isn't it? I mean, yeah. It's a bit of a luxury really, wasn't it?
No, yeah, I'll... Yeah, loved it. I think it was like 20 odd degrees there, minus 5-6 here. So, yeah, definitely loved it. And I think the team needed it as well. Get out as a team, do some real bonding together, and get some things right for the season coming up.
Can you tell us a bit about your background? We signed you from Wigan. How many years were you there at Wigan?
I was at Wigan for 9 years, from scholarship through academy, and then obviously did first year four years in the first team.
Who was your sort of other team before that? Were you Wigan St Pat's?
I used to play football, and then I joined St Pat's with my mates from school, and then got offered a scholarship at Wigan by Matty. Yeah.
When did you know you were going to be leaving Wigan then? Was it obvious last season? Were you not out of contract, or did you...
I still had a contract this year at Wigan. I just went to Matty last year. I think it was about two, three games left, and then I just went to Matty and said that I want to leave. I spoke to my parents, spoke to my agent of what I wanted to do, obviously this year coming up, and I thought that was best for me, leaving Wigan to get the best opportunity for me. I wanted to play more, wanted to play a different position from what I was obviously playing at Wigan. So yeah, I went to Matty, spoke to him, and at first he was reluctant, and then obviously could see my reasonings for it, and yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
Because I know as a supporter it was quite a shock when I think it was a sort of Friday night when it got mentioned that you signed for Salford, and I was over the moon, because I'd seen you play for Wigan.
Yeah.
Not blowing your trumpet here, but I'd seen you play for Wigan, played standoff and played really well for him, and it was a real surprise getting a player of your quality. Where do you see your position? Where do you want to play for Salford?
I want to play loose forward. I've always wanted to play loose forward. Obviously at Wigan couldn't do that, didn't get the chance to do that, but obviously coming here now, playing alongside Ollie in that loose forward role is something that I'm really keen on doing, and hopefully can go well through the season.
Do you feel like your time at Wigan, you learnt a lot of things there, because Wigan's a great club, great sort of conveyor belt of players. Do you think that's going to stand you in good stead now as you mature into a Super League player?
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously Wigan's maybe the player that I am, and hopefully I can take what I learnt there, and obviously what I learnt from all the coaches there, into my time here at Salford, and hopefully go from strength to strength and do my best there.
Have you spoke about goals for this season? I've mentioned that to some of the other players, and everybody seems really confident. I know bookies and people write Salford off and for not having a big squad, but you must be excited. I mean, I've said it to the other players, there's a lot of useful players there and players that, you know, can play in different positions and add a lot to the squad. So have you been impressed so far?
I know, like you said, we've not got the biggest squad, but what we do have in the players is we have some really world class players, some talented players. And I think, like I said, to a few people that I think we're going to surprise a few people this year. Like I said, people write us off, but yeah, I think quietly as a team, we're quietly confident that we can do quite well this year.
St. Helens, you've got this Sunday. It doesn't get any bigger than that, really, is it? Away from home, they're going to put a good side out. You're looking forward to the test against them, because being, you know, from Wigan, you've probably had some ding-dongs with them in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I just want games to start now, so really looking forward to this Sunday. It could be a you know, we'll treat it as if it was round one, and obviously go into round one in good stead. So, yeah, we'll prepare this week and then hopefully tell it into the Leeds game.
Final question for you. What can the Salford supporters expect from you this season?
I don't know. Someone who gives the best, gives their all week in, week out. Some excitement in the way that I play. Obviously, I think the way that Salford play is suits my style of play. I think they go hand in hand. So, yeah, I think they can expect that. So we'll see what the season brings. Yeah.
Thanks very much for speaking to us, mate. All the best and good luck for 2024.
All right, thank you, mate.
So we're joined by Captain Callum Watkins. Welcome to the show. Excited about the 2024 season?
Yeah, really excited. Pre-season's gone really well. We've added a few additions. Obviously, we've lost a couple of players, but added a few additions which they'll all suit our game and how we want to play. So really excited to see them play, but also the whole team, what we want to achieve this year. We'll see how it goes and we'll give it the best we can.
How was Portugal?
Very nice, yeah, very nice, can't complain. We brought the weather with us the first day, but you know, we got there and the sun came out the next day, which was great. And yeah, the training sessions were spot on, the facilities were nice, just what we needed. I think we got everything boxed off there, which was important for us to do, and we did that as best as we could. With the facilities like that, it was the best option for us.
Who did you room with?
A room with Sneeder. Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, we were both pretty chilled. We were both pretty laid back, so he had the sofa bed. But he had a TV as well, but he has so he can watch his programmes and stuff on it. So,
Was he keeping you up all night watching telly?
No, it was alright. It was pretty good. We were both pretty chilled and good company, Sneeder. Good lad.
What did you do to pass the long hours in between training? Anything exciting happening?
A lot of guys had a potter around Villamore and stuff, and did a little bit of travelling. A couple of lads been in a couple of cars and went out and stuff. I was pretty chilled, literally by the pool, just chilling, just enjoying the sun really. Just when we got that little break, just enjoyed the sun while it lasted.
Yeah. Obviously, you've been captain now for a couple of years. Have you settled into the role, and what are you bringing to it?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's always about learning. I've had them opportunities before when I was at Leeds. I was captain at Leeds as well, and kind of bring that experience over to Salford. And again, it's just about improving as a player, and then obviously getting the best out of my teammates as well. And that's by doing that. That's by doing improving with my actions. And I'm not the biggest of talkers, but when I do need to talk, you know I hope the boys are listening. And I just want to be successful. I want the team to win, and for me, it's just about leading by example with my actions.
Yeah, obviously, we missed out on the playoffs in 2023. What did you learn from that moving into 2024?
Yeah, the big thing I think last year that we kind of learned is when we're in tough moments and when we're in the big moments in games, we've got to be able to deal with it better. But I think we've brought a couple of guys in that have had that experience with other clubs, and they've won trophies and stuff like that, which is great. And just the more and players that have obviously played over the past couple of years, they've learnt from that experience as well, so they're going to be better players for it. They're going to be able to deal with situations better, but also just finding ways to win. I think we went on a run last year where we just couldn't get the result. We were close, we were in the game, but we just couldn't get the result. But if we can turn them results round, you know, we would have been in a lot higher position. We've been in a playoff. So.
Must be frustrating as a player when you're in that run. But as a captain, is it even more pressure and frustration that obviously people look into you to pull them out?
Yeah, it's frustration, and I know during that time as well I wasn't playing, I was out injured, so it got to a point where I lost about five, six in a row, which was disappointing, very, very disappointing. But we had to move on pretty quickly from that, and we still got pretty close to getting there, which shows that we've got resilience. I think we've got a lot of resilience in this team, and look, everybody cares, the staff do a great job in getting the best out of us, and you know, we've got to make the most of it when we're out there on the field, so learning experiences from that and make sure that we do better jobs this time.
Obviously had a couple of seasons now under Paul Rowley Ball, as we like to play, you like to say it, obviously with players go in the likes of Brody Croft, Andy Ackers, do you see a change in the style with the new players that come in?
I think it'll be quite similar. Yeah, I think it'll be pretty similar to what we're doing. I think it's, we always want to get better at it. I think we'll be definitely better at it this year. I know teams will see that coming, but for us it's finding different ways. We can still try and find different ways to play with what we're doing. And that's just about practice, that's just about getting our skills right, the basic stuff right, because our basic might not be the same as another team's basic stuff. So we're practicing that day in, day out. We've got to apply that into the games as well. We've got to do it in high pressure moments as well. So practice comes by playing and doing that. So yeah, it's going to be pretty similar, but obviously the new guys that come in, they suit our game. They suit our game massively. Like to Kate Cust and Nene McDonald, I think they'll shine through how we play.
Obviously, as a Salford fan, you've seen a few pre-seasons. What's it like being a player in a pre-season compared to a fan? Like, you know, is it as exciting as I think it would be?
It's up and down. Yeah, it is tough, mate. Yeah, but that's what it's all about. I think everyone enjoys doing that. Albeit it is tough, but it gets the best out of you. It instills the mindset in you that if you want to be successful, this is what you've got to be putting. You've got to be putting the work in, and pre-season is for that. It is for preparing for a big season, getting your body right, and making sure that you're, when it comes to round one, you're ready to go. Yeah, as a player, it is tough, but you know, if we're successful at the end of it, it's all worth it. It's all worth the work.
Is pre-season, obviously being captain, is pre-season like a big sort of challenge for yourself? To, you know, as your new players coming in, making them feel involved, making them feel part of the team, is that something that sort of you sort of see yourself as being a main thing, being a captain?
Yeah, I think so. I think when the new players come in, you've got to obviously introduce yourself and get to know the players. They might know a few players, that helps as well.
Yeah,
making sure that they're comfortable when they're in the squad, they can feel a part of the team. They are, because that's what they are. They're part of the team. And they can express themselves as much as possible. That's what we need. We need to continue to build relationships with, when new players come in, continue to build relationships with them, because we're going out there and playing together and wanting to be aiming for the same goal and being successful. So we've got to work as a team to do that.
Who do you think are going to be our main competitors in 2024?
I think you've got, your obvious teams, obviously, you've got your Wigan and Saints. Saints have got still got that core group of players that have had a successful period. They know how to win. And then Wigan last year, they won the grand final. So a couple of teams in there that are probably causing problems. I think, we'll see what Warrington are going to come up with. And Big Hook have signed pretty well. And, there's a couple of other teams there, Catalans as well. I know they've lost some key people there now, but they're still coached really well, and we've got a strong squad as well. So quite a few teams, and then Lee as well. We've got, got to mention Lee as well. They won the Challenge Cup, signed a couple of good players as well, and it's going to be quite interesting to see how it goes. Really, it's going to be some really, really tight games, and got to be able to perform at the right time to get into them positions.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us, and speak to you soon.
So that was Brad Singleton, Joe Shorrocks, Ryan Briley, and Captain Callum Watkins talking to us ahead of the big kickoff on Friday night against Leeds Rhinos. Away from home, Paul, it'll be a tough contest that to start our Super League campaign.
He certainly will, yeah. I think the bookies have got us down at 72 now. I think we had a 6-point start, then it went to 10 points, and I think it's about 14 or 16 now. So I think they've looked at, you know, Salford's squad and, you know, the injuries that we've got. And I think, you know, Vunyaya is out suspended as well. So we've only got 21 players, haven't we? 21 fit players. So the squad will name itself. So I think they've read into that and made Leeds clear favourites, which we expected anyway. Leeds being at home, and they've flexed their sort of financial muscles, haven't they, in the close season, bringing players in. So they're going to be firm favourites, and it's going to be a real tough challenge for us.
Yeah, obviously we talk about challenges, the new season, a small squad, 24-man squad. Paul Rowley has to sort of deal with that at the moment. He must be looking at that, thinking he needs new faces to bolster up the squad. Last season, we were kind of 28-30. Most Super League squads have that number. So to come into the season at 24 with only one pre-season trial game must be a worry for him.
Well, it is, Rob. I mean, you go into, you name the 21-man squad, don't you, on the Thursday or the Friday or whatever the game's going to be, and you've only got a few players left over. But this season, there's going to be weeks, probably most weeks, where we won't be able to name a 21-man squad, because you're going to have players who fail head tests, you have suspensions, you get other injuries and things like that. So it's very, very rare that you've got a full complement. Say we had a 30-man squad, it's very rare that you've got all 30 of them fit. There's always people out, but you've got 24, one or two are out injured, then you're down to the bare bones, aren't you? So I think we're going to struggle to get 21 every week. So it's going to be really, really difficult. There's no doubt about that. Players are going to have to play big minutes. You know, you have to be relying on players. Players won't be able to have a rest and things like that. So you know, it's going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, we've brought some players in, you know, durable players, like, say, Joe Mellor. If you look at Joe's sort of injury record last few years, he's played most games. So I'm not saying he's not going to get injured this time, but we've signed players there that are durable. They can move about and play in different positions as well. And they're going to have to do, because injuries are inevitable in a contact sport, aren't they? So, you know, when someone does go down, the players are going to have to shift around and move into different positions. So it's going to be a real tough test for Paul Rowley.
Yeah, and obviously with Cade Cust coming in, Niamh McDonald, they're going to play important parts for Paul Rowley's squad, especially with losing the likes of Brody Croft, Andy Ackers, Joe Burgess and Ken Seo over the off-season and the end of last season. You know, he does need the bigger players now, Steph.
He certainly does, yeah. And maybe a bit of a worry, really, that Cade Cust didn't feature in the friendly game against St Helens. You know, he didn't play in that game. So I can only assume that he was rested because he had a strain or something like that, because I think if he'd have been fully fit, he would have played. So perhaps that was a precautionary measure from Paul Rowe. That's me sort of assuming, really. So I would have thought he'd be fully fit to play on Friday night at Leeds. And no, it's a big test for him, because he's going in there cold, really, because he's not played a game since, I don't know, the last game he played. So, all right, you'll be playing training and stuff like that, aren't you? But it's not the same as, you know, full blown out game against Leeds, so that could be a test for Cust. So, but he's a clever player. He knows his stuff. He's experienced. So, it's going to be a tough game going there. There's no doubt about that. We're going to have the kitchen sink thrown at us. They're going to want to flex their muscles in front of a big crowd, aren't they? And you know, they've got a lot to prove as well. I think there's a lot of pressure on Leeds and Rowan Smith. So they'll be looking to blow us away. Won't they? So we've got to withstand that pressure.
Yeah, Paul Rowley have brought in Ethan Ryan, Niamh McDonald, Kay Cust, Joe Shorrocks, Kai Morgan, Chris Hackinson and Joe Mellor. Obviously, you know, there is quality in there, but like you said, because the squad is short, it will be important the likes of Shorrocks and Mellor and Hankinson, who are quite versatile, can fill in them positions that we do get injuries.
Yeah, the only worry for me at the St Helens friendly, I thought we sort of lacked a bit of pace out wide. We didn't look like we had much on the edges. And Matt Donald looks a good player, but he seemed to be frustrated for most of that game, really. He didn't seem to get the service that he wanted. And there was one or two times where I saw him sort of having disagreements with Mark Snead, and that's not good. So, you know, obviously he's a hungry player and wants to do well, but my sort of worry was that pace out wide on the edges. So, you know, with Ethan Ryan out injured, he's an out-and-out winger, isn't he? So we'll have to see who Paul Rowley goes with in his three quarters at the start. I was impressed with Joe Mellor, though, I must admit, in that friendly game. I thought he worked really, really hard. Very, very useful player. Very quick round the ruck. Good defender as well. So I'm sure I've got a feeling he'll start number nine, I would have thought. But as I said before, the 21 players that we've got are all going to be involved, really, aren't they? So we're in and around the squad, so it's going to be interesting to see what he goes with. I mean, with King Vunyaya while being out suspended, you know, who are you going to go with as your front row? You probably say that Singleton and Armand Royal start in the pack, and then you've got to look at Partington. Will he be as a prop on the bench? Will you play Shorrocks at loose forward? He's got a lot of options there, Paul Rowland.
He will. And obviously, you know, we talk about options around the hooking role. Amir Borough, Chris Atkin, and like you say, Joe Mellor competing for that first hooking spot. Who do you think makes the 13 and who comes on the bench out of them three?
I'd start with Joe Mellor at hooker. And I think if Custy's fit, I think he'll play standoff and Max Neal will be scrum half. I'd probably go with, I'd go with Singleton and Ormond as my props. It'd be a toss-up between Partington and Shorrocks with a loose forward for me. You've got Sam Stone in the back row. Shane Wright will probably be either on the bench or starting. I would have thought Callum Watkins would start with Stone and Wright on the bench. So, yeah, that'd be my side, really. I mean, in the back line, who you're going to have on the wings, really? Probably look at Dion Cross on one side. Hankinson, I don't know, didn't look the quickest for me. So whether he'll start with Hankinson, I'm not too sure. Neil McDonald's pretty quick, but I would have thought he'd be in the centres with Tim Laffey. So yeah, there's a few options there for us. But, you know, Ryan Bradley's definitely going to be number one, I would have thought. So yeah, the starting 13's a good side. It's just having that backup, isn't it? What we can't afford is injuries in that first game against Leeds, really. And suspensions is another one. We've got to be careful with those tackles because we don't want anybody else getting sin-binned. And you can see that happening if we're not squeaky clean in that game.
Yeah, let's move on to Swinton Lions. They were in action this weekend. They beat West Hull in the Challenge Cup, 50 points to 6. Good result for the Lions.
Yeah, West Hull are a good amateur side, aren't they, with a good pedigree. So they'll have come down to Haywood Road to give Swinton a good game. And by the sounds of it, they did themselves proud, the amateur side. So yeah, that was a tough hurdle for Swinton to get through. They've got a week off now, I believe, because there's no game next week because it's the 1895 Cup. And it's their sort of, because they're in groups of three, it's their round off. So the next game they'll play now is the fourth round of the Challenge Cup against Oldham. So that's going to be a fantastic game. I caught a bit of Oldham's win at Barrow in the Cup at week. Weekend I think it was on the BBC iPlayer, and that was a smashing game. So Oldham's got a lot of ex-Salford players in their team, and there was a few in Swinton's team as well. So that should be a cracking cup tie in a few weeks. But no, they've made a good start to the season, Swinton. You know, they're unbeaten up to now, so a good start.
Yeah, obviously, you know, a lot of support down there at Swinton. They are a loyal bunch. Obviously, going to Sale Haywood Road, but they are being rewarded. You know, three big wins so far, yep. And obviously, you know, a good run in both the 1895 Cup and the Challenge Cup is what they need, really.
Yeah, well, they've got a great chance of progressing now. I think they have progressed actually. I think they're through now, aren't they, to the knockout stage of the 1895 Cup. So that's going to be interesting. And don't forget, you get to play at Wembley, don't you? And as I mentioned last week, I can't remember the last time Swinton played at Wembley. I don't think they ever have played at Wembley. When they won the Cup, it wasn't at Wembley. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty certain from my research that Swinton haven't played at Wembley before. So that'd be something special for them, wouldn't it? Definitely, whether it's 1895 final or the Challenge Cup final. I think more chance in the 1895. But, no, that's a real, real tasty tie against Oldham in the fourth round of the Cup. And if they can get through that one, then obviously the Super League side's coming in the fifth round and some of the big guns in there then. So that'd be really exciting. I mean, Swinton fancy the chances against teams at Haywood Row. You know, it's a fortress down there. And as you said, they've made a great start to the season with three wins.
Yeah, going to be exciting. Obviously, all the Swinton Lions fans who are listening to this, make sure you get down to Haywood Road and support your boys in this current time. Obviously, good cup runs, brings money into the club, generates juice for the chairman and the board to get some more players and increase the competitiveness in the squad, Paul.
Yeah, it certainly does. And we mentioned before it's going to be a tough season in the Championship for Swinton, but I think, you know, the beauty of this Championship and League One season is you get to start with the 1895 Cup. And I would say it's like a build-up to the league, really. It's still an important competition, but you're getting to get yourselves in a bit of a rhythm, aren't you? And that's what Swinton are doing. There's nothing like winning matches, and, you know, supporters are enjoying it, the players are enjoying it, confidence is building. You've got new players in there as well. There's some real useful players in that squad. So, yeah, it's been a great start. And, that Oldham game's going to be a test. But, you know, Oldham are in League One, so Swinton will fancy the chances to win that. They're at home as well. So that should be a cracking cup tie. And it's one that I'll hopefully get down to see myself.
Yeah. So let's talk football now, Paul. And we'll start at Manchester United. Late winner from Scott McTominay against Aston Villa on Sunday night. Keeps Ten Hag's men in the hunt for top four spot. Obviously, there is a gap between Man United and Villa and Spurs, I think. So, important that they won.
Yeah, that gap's closing though, Rob, isn't it? You know, a good win last week against West Ham, I think it was, wasn't it? And that's a terrific win away from home against an in-form Aston Villa team. I don't know what Aston Villa's home record is this season, but I presume it's pretty good because they've been winning games left, right and centre, haven't they? So dipped a bit in form recently, as a few teams have. West Ham being one of those sides that's fell apart completely. But no, a big win that for United, and you know, another morale boosting win, because you know there seems to be smiles on faces again at Old Trafford with the players and the supporters. So things are going well at the moment, and as you said there, that gap is closing on the top four, and they've got a good chance of making it now.
Yeah, another goal from Rasmus Højlund as well. Obviously, started the season very quietly, but got amongst the goals and now reproducing form that obviously Ten Hag saw to bring it to Old Trafford.
That's right. And, you know, I think Ten Hag is getting a bit of recognition now. I was speaking to somebody on Saturday about, who's a bit more of an expert than I am about United, and he was saying about the youngsters that are sort of appearing in the squad now, and there's some other guys waiting in the wings as well. So, you know, Ten Hag's done terrific jobs at previous clubs, hasn't he, with young players, and I think that's going to be his mantra at Old Trafford. So if he's given that time, you know, I'm not saying you're going to get another class of 92, but you might get another crop of youngsters that could take Manchester United back up to where they feel they belong. So yeah, it's exciting times. And, you know, just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, they were down sort of in the doldrums, really, weren't they? Couldn't buy a win. But, you know, things seem to be looking up at the moment. And a win at Villa, like in those circumstances, I thought was a really impressive result.
Yeah, Luton away on Sunday. Obviously, Luton finding a bit of form, still in the sort of in and around the relegation zone, but not the easy pushovers everyone thought it would be.
Well, no, they're not. I mean, you look at Sheffield United and Burnley, who came up, and I think they're about 7 or 8 points behind Luton, aren't they? So those two are marooned at the bottom. But Luton have been a tough team to beat, haven't they? And they've also been an entertaining team and a team that have scored plenty of goals, haven't they? So that'll be tough. They'll be tough to beat on their own ground as well, won't they? And they like to entertain. They're not a sort of up and under team, are they? They're a team that like to put the ball on the floor and play. So that'll be a tough game for United. But the way United are playing at the moment and the confidence that they've got, you'd probably expect them to go and win that game.
Yeah, let's move on to Manchester City. They were in action this weekend and beat Everton at the Etihad 2-0. Double strike for Haaland. Give the Blues the 3 points.
Yeah, another big win for City, I thought. And, you know, Everton held their own for much of that game, didn't they? But, you know, Haaland, you know, quality player and a terrific goal scorer as well. And seems to be getting back to full fitness again, doesn't he? And you know, he's lethal, isn't he, in front of goal. So, you know, a big win for City, and they're still chasing the top, aren't they? You've got Arsenal and Liverpool who are playing well. I thought Arsenal had a great win on Sunday, didn't they? 6-0 against West Ham, so that was a big result. Liverpool as well have been winning matches. So, you know, it's a real race at the moment, isn't it, for that Premiership title. So Manchester City are right in there at the moment, though. They seem to hit form, don't they, after Christmas, and like they have done for many years now. And they seem to be in good form at the moment, don't they? Going about the business quietly and keeping clean sheets, and, you know, good result.
Yeah, and obviously it's this time of the year when championships aren't won but are lost, aren't they? If you can't string wins together, and, you know, like Liverpool and Arsenal both picking up wins this weekend, it's obviously meant that Manchester City needed to continue to win, stay in the hunt. So obviously Pep Guardiola has a team there he's nurtured into a championship winning team many times, so he knows what needs to happen to get him over the line.
Yeah, he certainly does. And you've got the distraction, you know, this week coming up, they're away from home in the Champions League, aren't they, off to Copenhagen. So that's always tough, isn't it? They're backing up at the weekend. You play Sundays, don't you, then, when you played in the Champions League. So that's tough. You know, you've got to go over there, and then you've got to back it up and win your league game as well. So you can't take your eye off the ball. So I'm sure they won't do. I'm sure they'll be raring to go come the weekend and raring to progress in the knockout stage of the Champions League as well. It's exciting times, isn't it? You know, it's getting to that stage of the season now where you're looking at the running and things like that. So they'll be looking to get another result this week.
Yeah. And obviously, like you say, Copenhagen on Tuesday, Chelsea on Saturday, two tough games there. You know, we need his squad to be fully functioning. He needs two big wins, two results.
Yeah, Chelsea are a funny team, aren't they? I can't really work them out at the moment. They're sort of out good 1 week and really poor the next, aren't they? You don't really always know what Chelsea team's going to turn up. I'd expect City to go and win in Copenhagen. No disrespect to them, but I think City should be too good to win that game. And then it's a tea time game, I think they play on Saturday, don't they? So yeah, I would expect two wins, but no, you never know. But at the moment, City's defence looks pretty good, doesn't it? They look pretty solid, so I'd expect them to get two wins this week.
Yeah. Salford City, they were in action this weekend as well. They were away at Swindon and drew 1-1. Obviously, had a sort of slow start to the season, hovering towards the bottom end, Paul, but seemed to have found a bit of form in the last few weeks after the change of coach, and now hovering towards the middle.
Yeah, you're right there. They do seem to be pushing up, and good result against a Swindon side that just above them in the tail. So it's always nice to pick up points against the teams above you. But they pulled away from that bottom two. You know, Forest Green and Sutton United look like marooned at the bottom there, don't they? They're well away. There was a time where Salford were only sort of a win or so above them, weren't they? So now they've pulled away from that and they're well in front now. And I think they've got about 35 points now. So you start looking up, you know, the playoffs is probably going to be a struggle to get in that, aren't they? With about 12 points off at the moment. But you just got to keep eking away and winning matches, haven't you? And they're showing signs of improvement, getting results, and that's all you can ask for. So yeah, I don't think they'll be aiming for any sort of playoffs or promotion. They'll just be going to see how many wins they can get and see where it takes them.
Yeah, two games for the Amis this weekend, both at home, one against Doncaster, one against Barrow. Obviously, like you say, there is a gap now to the playoffs. 12, like you say, it's going to be 11. Is it 11 points or something? 12 points. So, but in this league, anyone could beat anyone. So they could string a few wins together. You never know.
Well, that's right. You pick up 6 points this week, and it takes you right up to sort of 12th place, doesn't it? 13th place. So you know, it's the top seven for the playoffs. I think Harrogate got 47. So what? Salford got 35. So you're 12 off. But you know, it doesn't take long, does it? To you know, all the teams are going to be winning games as well, aren't they, above them? But you know, if you can string five or six wins together, then you're right back up there, aren't you? Now, so they seem to be finding that confidence, and they're not leaking as many goals as they were. So, you know, it's just improvements, isn't it? Supporters want to see improvements, and that's what they're getting at the moment. And you can only take small steps at a time. You can't, you know, be looking at stuff like playoffs. You've just got to take each game as it comes, haven't you? Start building.
Yeah, and obviously with 30 seconds to go. Who do you think out of our three local sides will be the strongest finisher in 2024?
I think Manchester City are right up there. I think they're going to be one of the sides to beat in the Premier League. I would have thought they'd take that title again. Manchester United, if you get in the top four, I think it'd be amazing. And for Salford, for them, they've just got to finish as high as they can. If you get in the playoffs, that'd be an absolute bonus.
Yeah, and we'll be following it on the Sports Zone on Salford City Radio every Tuesday and every Wednesday. Big thanks for joining us on this week's show. I'm Rob Parkinson. That's been Paul Whiteside. And we'll see you soon for more Salford Sporting Chat on your Salford City Radio.